Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Jason Powell here with a review of the TNA Impact Wrestling Show that aired on June 28, 2012. I am filling in for Will Pruitt today. Will is having some issues. He just he relocated and found out that his cable system that he has to have, he can't even get a satellite, doesn't offer the East Coast feeds. Will's a West Coast guy, and so it's kind of playing havoc with his schedule. I'm sure he'll get settled in eventually on that, but he's got some other things going on today, so I'm jumping in. Another note regarding SmackDown audio for Saturday. It's up in the air, as I think most of you know. Jake Barnett and Chris Shore normally do the SmackDown All Access podcast on Saturdays. However, this week, Chris is doing some business with Pro Wrestling Evo. They have an iPay-per-view on Saturday night, and Chris is hoping to find time to do the SmackDown audio show on Saturday, but it's up in the air. So if you don't see it on Saturday morning or early afternoon, chances are it's just going to be skipped this week, but you won't have to wait long. We have the live SmackDown coming up on Tuesday, and I'm sure the guys will get back in the swing of things with that. Also, .NET members, because I'm filling in for Will today, it is very unlikely that I will have time to do the Q&A audio show. So, as usual, it's either a Friday or a Monday thing, so I think we'll just push that one back to Monday, most likely. And I thought there was something else I was going to tell you guys about. Maybe that covers it. And so, I'll figure it out. If it's important enough, I'll remember. But also, I do want to tell people about the .NET membership site, since I mentioned that. Hours of new audio content each and every week. Chris Shore and I just recorded the 2-hour-plus edition of .NET Weekly on Thursday. That's a staple. That's the flagship show. We analyze all the news of the week. It often includes first-run material that we haven't even posted on the actual website just yet. There is a forum where you can correspond with the great .NET members. A lot of fun in there. People hanging out, talking, writing back and forth during the various pro wrestling television shows and whatnot, and throughout the week. A really good group of people, and I'm proud to have as members. And also the ability to write your own blogs. If you enjoy writing and you want to write some blogs and let the other members get a chance to see them, you have that option. You get the first look at news. It is an ad-free version of the site. There are also audio interviews on the site. Chris Jericho, Dutch Mantel, the former TNA creative team member, Court Bauer, former WWE creative team member, Chris DeJoseph and Chris Roach, also former WWE creative team members, join me around WrestleMania time. Shane Hurricane Helms, just incredible. The list goes on and on. We've had a lot of different interviews over the years, and we'll be adding to that again here very soon. But if you are interested in membership, just head on over to ProWrestling.net. If you're listening on iTunes, you can't miss the sign-up page on the front of your screen. And for as little as $5.25, you can sign up for membership per month. The catch there, that's the annual rate. So if you want to lock in at that rate, you're going to save yourself a good chunk of change. If you just want to try it out for a month, though, see if it works for you and worry about annual later, or just if you want to go month by month, whatever works best for you, $7.25 is the rate that you can sign up for. Again, it's ProWrestling.net. A few questions I had coming out of the TNA Impact show on Thursday night. I guess first and foremost, did AJ Styles father a crack baby? We know that Claire, crackhead Claire, she was sleeping around and in hotel rooms and doing all sorts of drugs. And now it's been made clear that Dixie and AJ weren't having an affair. However, Christopher Daniels is alleging that AJ Styles is the father of crackhead Claire's unborn crack baby. They're not saying crack, but she was drugged up on something. That poor child can't be healthy. And AJ Styles is like the Tiger Woods of TNA, apparently. He's getting around, or at least Daniels thinks he is. So hopefully we'll uncover the answer to that as we work our way forward here in the audio review. I also want to know, another question coming out of this, is the key to gut check just like kissing the ass of the judges and telling them how great they are and how much you want to be a TNA wrestler and all that? Because it seems like if you're nice to them, and or if you have a sob story for them, they will vote for you. At least two of them will vote for you. If you're Joey Ryan and you're sassy to them, well, they're not going to vote for you. And then you're naughty. Then you don't get to be part of it. You're on the outside looking in, except you'll actually probably get more camera time than the other gut check contestants, because they'll work an angle with you where you're mad that you didn't get hired. I mean, I there's elements of the gut check that I like, but I really do feel like they should be setting themselves up to be a little more selective with this, where it's not just I think it's three of the first four now have gotten contracts. I want it to be something where it takes something special to earn that. And I'm not even complaining about the people they put in there or anything like that. It's just, that's all it takes. You lose a 2-minute squash match, and then you kiss the ass of the judges, give them a little sob story, you're in. Wow. Or is it 2 out of 3? I'm trying to think if there have been 4 of these things. But so far, yeah, I mean, it really does just seem like it's a little too easy. I also want to know, did Kazarian know that he was going to side with Daniels, or what happened there? He was mad at him all show, and then, surprise, he hit Styles over the back with the chair. I didn't quite grasp what was going on there either. I'm sure other questions will come up, and again, we're going to try to find some answers to these questions as we work our way through. If you want to follow along, I am using Ryan Kester's live coverage review from Thursday night. That's available at ProWrestling.net in the TV review section. You can actually find it the app doesn't have this, but the actual website does. You can find a link right there in the feature article. Speaking of the apps, that's what I meant to mention. They're free. Go find them. Wherever the hell you, chances are, if you have like a normal phone, we have an app for you, and it's free. So wherever you find your apps, just do a search for ProWrestling.net or even Pro Wrestling. Hell, sometimes Pro Wrestling with one word brings us right to the top. We are big with people that can't spell properly. We're huge with people that can't spell correctly, as a matter of fact. I think we're number one. I think we are the number one site that pops up if you enter Pro Wrestling as all one word. I'm not sure what that says, but I'll take it. I don't even know how we found that out. I guess one of us can't spell, but whatever works, honestly. But yeah, again, Ryan Kester's review, they did open up with kind of a recap of the nonsense that went on with Dixie Carter and AJ Styles the week before. And we went right to them backstage talking about how they were happy to be moving on. And Styles was talking about how he's going to beat the piss out of Daniels and Kazarian. And what happened last week was nothing. And wait till tonight. And Dixie thanks him. And then Mike Tenay on commentary along with Taz. Tenay says that we'd be hearing from Crackhead Claire at some point during the show. And he announced, I like this, they announced that the future Bound for Glory series matches will carry a 15-minute time limit. You know, I mean, it's fine on television, I'd rather they give themselves more flexibility. I wonder if they were thinking, we're going to have some draws in here. There's going to be some matches that if we do a draw, we really don't want to have 15 minutes, so let's go 10. But then the more you think about it, it's like there's ways around that, and you also want to have these on pay-per-views. And it's hard to sell people on a good matchup when they're just going to think, well, it's going to go 10 minutes and be a draw. So I like that they expanded this. Wasn't the biggest thing. One other little touch I'd like to see them add for the Bound for Glory scoreboard that they've been good about posting this year. They're doing a much better job thus far with the Bound for Glory series. But when they put up the point totals, I'd like to see like somewhere in parentheses or whatever, a note saying how many matches each wrestler has actually been in thus far. I mean, that's kind of a big thing, isn't it? You know, if one wrestler has 3 matches and he has 30 points, and then you look down the list and you see the other guy only has, he has 0, well, it looks really bad, but if you find out, he's only had 1 match, it makes him look like he's a little more in contention for this thing. But our first match of the night was a Bound for Glory series match with Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam. It was Van Dam beating Anderson in 542. Anderson is getting noticeably smaller. He's not he's not as cut as he once was. And the hairstyles change. Not saying it's a horrible thing. I mean, I maybe he needs to hit the gym. Maybe I don't know what's going on there, but he is noticeably smaller. He's a workout guy. I knew Ken a little bit when he was on the indie scene, and I remember him telling me at the time, anyway, he worked as a fitness trainer. I think those days are long over. He's gone on to have a lot of success since then. But he is a workout guy. I'm just kind of surprised to see him in the shape he's in now. But, it's not like, oh, my God, he looks horrible. So if he can maintain this, that's fine. But Van Damme and Anderson had a pretty entertaining match. Sloppy in spots, as most Rob Van Damme matches tend to be. Van Damme seems so much more motivated. Ever since he returned, was it for Sacrifice, or when he had that big matchup for the championship, he's been doing some really good work for TNA, and it's nice to see that Rob Van Damme back. I still wish we'd get some evolution of the RVD character. I wish they'd turn him heel. I know he's appealing to a lot of people, but I think he's a heel at heart. I mean, the finger point thing or the thumb point thing, when he does that in like mid-match and it backfires, it's like he looks like such an idiot. Where if he's a heel, it plays so much better. And I just want to see something a little bit different with Van Damme. He's been playing the same character now for 10, 15 years, it seems like. It feels like, anyway. Austin Aries then came out, and he had the X Division Championship on the ropes and was talking about how difficult his decision was, and he said that it was talking about how his days as champion are numbered, but there would be a tournament held at Destination X to crown the new champion. Now, we have since found out, because yesterday I sat in or took part in the media conference call that TNA arranged for Austin Aries to speak with the pro wrestling media. If you haven't listened to that, that is available in our audio section right now. It's a free audio show. I wasn't going to put down, something TNA is trying to get some pub from in the member side of things. So it's out there for everyone if you guys want to listen to that. It's about an hour in length. And he answered all questions, and it was I enjoyed myself. It was a good hour of listening to Austin Aries. But they said at the top of that, Chris Thomas, who is like TNA's top PR guy, announced three matches, and one of them was that Ultimate X was going to decide the new X Division champion. And then during the show, though, they were talking about this tournament. So I'm like, well, what's going on? And what it's going to be, you're going to see qualifying matches on Impact, like we did last night. And then there are also, I think, three guys. I know it's Zema Ion, Doug Williams, and I think Kid Cash, who, because they're regulars in TNA, are slotted into this tournament that's going to take place at the pay-per-view. The other guys are qualifiers, as we saw last night. Well, I think we'll get 2-3 more qualifying matches on next week's Impact as well. And then they're going to have 4 singles matches at the pay-per-view with those X Division wrestlers. The winners of those matches go into the Ultimate X. So it's kind of an odd tournament if you think about it, but ultimately you're going to have a 4-man Ultimate X match that will determine the new X Division champion. I think it's a little overly complicated, but we're getting good matches, good action on Impact as a result of it. We're getting lots of X Division matches on the pay-per-view, which we should because it's Destination X. And it addresses one of the big concerns I expressed during the .NET Weekly audio show on Thursday on the member side of things. Because, at the time we only knew what they told us in the conference call, which is that an Ultimate X match is going to decide this. And my issue with that was, well, it seems so. It's a gimmick match deciding the new X Division champion, and we're just going to throw a bunch of guys in there and may the best man win. This way, you have to earn your way in, and I like that. At least you have to, in some case, you have to pin someone or win by submission to actually qualify for this. And to at least you're taking. It's not just some guy that is an X Division style wrestler from. We're just going to throw them in this, maybe one match on Impact or something. I like that, they're adding some new guys to the division and that they're also making them qualify. It seems like kind of an easy path. You win one match on Impact, you win that next qualifier, and you've got a shot at the X Division title, but I can live with that. At least there's at least one more step to this that they're adding. So I do like that part of it. From there, we had Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, or actually, I'm sorry, Bobby Roode coming out to confront Austin Aries and calling him a kid and telling him to get out of his ring. Aries standing up for himself and saying this, he considers it his ring, and then they just kind of jawed back and forth, and Roode eventually left with a smirk. These two play off one another very nicely. Roode has come so far in his confidence level as on the mic, and Aries is just. He's doing phenomenal work as well. These two are really, they feel like they're at the top of their game in terms of, knowing what their character is, knowing who they are, just being confident. I mean, Aries has been smooth for some time, but just to watch the transformation of Bobby Roode from a guy that just didn't seem like he was all that confident on the mic and was kind of one-dimensional into what he's become has really been fun to watch. And it's just great to see Aries also getting this opportunity in with TNA again and making the most of it. Definitely rumblings back, behind the scenes that recently that he's, been showing signs of getting a big head, rubbing some veterans the wrong way and whatnot. Hopefully that doesn't become an issue because this guy has all the talent in the world. And I think he really has been one of the key players for TNA since he's returned. He's a guy that I look forward to watching every week on Impact. And there's, there's some guys that you look forward to seeing more than others, and he's certainly one of them. He's done an excellent job. From there, we got a recap of Crackcore Claire's performance from last week, and then she was backstage talking about how she met AJ Styles and where things started going bad for her, and she said she never met Kaz or Daniels before, but she couldn't believe how they tried to turn something so good into something so terrible. She's not a very good actress, so I'm not, maybe she'll get better as she figures out what the role is. I don't know, but I'm not sure what the only thing she's done so far was that little pat on the belly that, okay, she is pregnant, that we get that now, but when she, actual speaking dialogue, I don't know if we're supposed to think she's like acting like she, when she says she doesn't know Kaz and Daniels, it seemed like, maybe she does. I don't know if that's by design or if she's just not a very good actress. I'm not sure. I'm having a hard time with Crackcore Claire thus far. From there, though, after a commercial break, we got Sanjay Dutt and Rubix in an X Division qualifier. Rubix, of course, is Jigsaw from, he's worked all over the Northeast, but I think probably best known for his work in Chikara, fair to say. I'm not sure, but I think so. I mean, he's worked a lot of different places, but I think that's pretty much what he's known for. But that second match was Sanjay beating Rubix in 306 with an incredible stomp onto, like a moonsault into a stomp. From the top rope, he like flips onto his feet and just lands on the guy's stomach and pinned him. It was amazing. It really was. I enjoyed the match. Good, fast-paced action. The crowd was into it. I mean, the only thing I wish we would have gotten more of is an introduction to Rubix. I think there's a lot of indie fans who are familiar with Jigsaw and whatnot. But in the TNA world, I mean, Mike Tenay did a good job of trying to explain, who he is, and he's had a background in the indie scene. Been, I think a 10-year pro, he said. I just give me a 20-second, 30-second, ideally longer, but if they're worried about TV time, keep it short, but give me a kind of a rundown of who this guy is. And I wish we'd get more of that. But, hey, they're featuring pretty good X Division action on the show. Sanjay looks so much better now that he shaved his head. There's some guys look much like myself, look so much better bald than they do with, like, thinning hair. And it was good to see Sanjay back. He kind of got stuck in a lot of bad comedy, and this seemed like this was a more serious Sanjay character. And so I hope, hopefully we'll get more of that. He cut a promo afterward, and it wasn't very good. He kind of stumbled over whatever his big tagline at the end was supposed to be. So hopefully that, he's already shown he can do pretty good mic work, so hopefully that's not going to be held against him. It was just a slip, I guess we'll say. But it was good to see him back, and I don't know if we'll see more of Jigsaw in TNA or where things are going with that. But the crowd was certainly receptive. They liked that. They liked his work. Then we got a recap of Taylor Hendricks on Gut Check from the week before. And we had Bruce Pritchard, Taz, and Al Snow talking backstage a little bit. And Snow was questioning if she'd get a big head and all this. And I want to hear them spend more time talking about what happened in the ring. Give me some, you know, even if it go back a little bit. I mean, Snow acts like he's worked with all these people before. So I want to hear more from that, more from him. And this is just, you know, me as a viewer, not trying to go too inside with it. Just as a viewer, I'd like to feel like they're debating how, you know, the potential of this person in the ring. I know there is a, I think they're going too far with, you know, is someone going to buy a pay-per-view to see this? I mean, that I guess that's part of the formula, but I'd like to see, you know, well, she was trained by so-and-so. She, you know, and I'm not saying you got to bring it up if it's somebody you're not impressed by, but if it's somebody that you are or that means something to the average viewer out there, you know, bring that up and, oh, yeah, well, she got that going for her. So we know she has a good fundamental background, that kind of thing. And I want Snow to talk about, well, you know, and here's where her weakness is as an in-ring performer. Focus more on what happens in the ring rather than all the other nonsense. There's just a little bit too much. They're skewed too far that way. We got Bully Ray coming out, and they went to a commercial break. I can't think of a better commercial break hook for me than Bully Ray, because I know he's going to be on the mic, and if I know that, I'm not turning the channel. I'm going to wait for Bully Ray. But we didn't actually get him on the mic, not to begin with. Instead, it was Samoa Joe and Bully Ray in another Bound for Glory series match, and this one, it was Joe winning in 12:54. I mean, I enjoyed this. I was surprised that they put two guys. Joe, I mean, he's never really had that definitive babyface turn. He's been working more that way ever since, like, he and Magnus team. But he's also, I mean, well, I was going to say he's worked with Austin Aries and others, and he's kind of been heelish at times. But when he loses, he's also respectful. So, I mean, I think he's supposed to be a face or just, you know, some kind of a tweener, just likes the competition, whatever. But that was a little bit. I was pleasantly surprised to see that this was what led into the second hour, because they certainly like to keep something big in that to lead off the second hour, because it tends to be one of their higher rated segments. And it's good to see Joe there. They need to do a better job of finding what Joe's focus is. You know, I mean, he's one of those guys, they're getting there. Things have been better for Joe than they are for others. But and when I say others, I'm like, what, you know, Mr. Anderson and Rob Van Dam, what's their focus? Well, they throw them in three-way matches with Jeff Hardy, another guy that doesn't seem like they really know where they're going with just yet. But, you know, things have improved for Joe. He won here. It was nice to see him get a win again, because he has done some high-profile jobs lately. And, you know, Ray, I mean, if it wasn't for Bobby Roode, I think Ray could be the TNA champion. I mean, he's so good on the mic. It's just instant heat as soon as he talks. But, you know, I mean, he's playing this role nicely, and he can absorb a loss. He really can. You know, I mean, he can lose and get his heat back seconds later. He's just that good. And Joe Park was interfered. Well, he actually distracted, or he slapped Bully Ray. That's what it was. He slapped him across the face when the ref was distracted. And that's when Joe locked in the rear naked choke and Ray tapped out. So Joe wins 10 points due to submission victory rather than the 7 for a pinfall. And, you know, I think the Joe Park thing, well, I guess we'll go through it. Basically the idea here is that Park's standing up for himself. He has this new level of confidence and power. There's your Pantera tribute for the week. But you know, I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, but he said, I know who you are. Do you know who I am? And I was waiting for, like, everyone in the Impact Zone to yell Abyss. And maybe some did. I don't know. But, yeah, it's like Bully Ray, I think, is the last person on Earth who hasn't figured this out, and which is fine. I mean, people are still into this. It was kind of cool to see Park, you know, suddenly show this newfound confidence, and for some reason, he didn't want to fight him next week. He wants to fight him in 2 weeks. So I guess, I'm guessing next week will be an X Division, Destination X heavy show. So rather than, you know, if they're going to do this on television, and not at the pay-per-view, which is fine. You know, I mean, why do it next week? Why not follow, you know, do it the week after the pay-per-view when, you know, it makes more, you should be spending more time dedicating, or you should dedicate more time to things on your actual pay-per-view on the go-home show. So I'm fine with that. I mean, they play off each other very well. I can't say I'm Looking forward to the full-on return of Abyss. There goes that email chiming in. I thought I turned that down. There we go. I'm not looking forward to the return of Abyss, but maybe there'll be a new wrinkle. You know, I mean, he's done a hell of a job playing this Joseph Park character. There's no denying that. It's just when he goes back to the bad Carhartt jacket and the mask and yelling, "Ass," all the time. I don't want to see that. I want to see something new. But, you know, who knows if they're going there just yet. We went back with Claire. Oh, by the way, her name is Claire Lynch. Like, why? Claire Lynch. I don't, maybe I'm dating myself with it. Well, I don't think it's that old, but no, it's not that old. I just think of the Blair Witch Project. The Claire Lynch Project. I mean, Claire Lynch. I don't know. I guess, well, are we going to find out, like, it's a name? She's named after, like, some Dixie Carter family member we don't know about. And we've already had Salinas, which was at Serge's last name. And we have Janice, Abyss's Weapon, which is Dixie's mother. So I don't know. Maybe we'll find out that there's a Lynch out there. Or someone's just a big fan of, like, Jane Lynch from that, well, I consider from Best in Show. Most people would say from Glee. Or is there a George Lynch and Dawkins or something like that? Now I'm really dating myself with a Dawkins reference. But they're huge in Japan. That was always the rep on Dawkins. Anyhow, Claire and Carter were discussing the picture that showed Dixie hugging AJ outside the hotel. And Claire was disgusted with how perverted Daniels and Kazarian made something that was so innocent. And they said the hotel room they were going to was said to see that Claire was clean. And AJ was so excited about it. They were so happy. And the phone call was indeed about a surprise party for Serge. Why Dixie couldn't just tell Serge this and you know, save AJ the trouble with being punched in the face by Serge, I don't know. You'd think she would have. You got me. They may even try to cover their tracks there. They at least go out of their way to, even if they miss something, they do take the time to try to fill in that hole. Sometimes it's, you know, I mean, I applaud that effort. It's better than what we used to get, which is there's a hole, who cares, under the Russo regime. By the way, if Russo was booking this, I would just assume that Claire's baby was actually, like, somehow fathered by Dixie Carter, because no one would see it coming. It would have been the ultimate Vince Russo swerve. Dixie Carter is a hermaphrodite. He just, you know, maybe he saw the South Park Cartman father episode or something and got inspired, and that's where it would go. So maybe we can't rule that out here either. But, yeah, we don't know who knocked up Claire. I guess that's the mystery. But Kazarian told Hulk Hogan he's all pissed off. He's been deceived by Daniels, and he didn't even want to tag with him. What if Hogan right there had said, "All right, yeah, you're right, man. We'll call this off." That's why I'm like, so was Kazarian plotting against Daniels? What made him have a change of heart? I don't even know. Was there a moment where Daniels whispered to him? I don't even know. But Hogan told him to forget his integrity and be accountable. And he said, prove who he is tonight. And then I sent Kazarian on his way, and Kazarian wasn't very pleased. And just Kazarian's reaction to this kind of told me that, yeah, he's still going to be a heel. Just because, you know, it wasn't, yeah, Hulk, okay, Hulk. He was pissed at Hulk. And, you know, you're not going to have a guy be too pissed off at Hulk Hogan if he's going to be a babyface, generally. Then we got Madison Rain approaching Garrett Bischoff backstage and asking him about the person she has a crush on. So what this was obviously designed to do was tell us that it's not Garrett after all. I think the only people it can be now, there's, I think we're down to four, because I may have missed a week. Maybe it's even more obvious. I assumed it was Garrett, but I also said from the get-go, good Lord, it could be Earl Hebner. And sure enough, he's been out there every single time. And the way Garrett reacted by, like, good luck with that, makes me think, oh my God, it really is going to be Earl Hebner for God knows what reason. But it could be Robbie E, and it could be Robbie T, and it could be Devon, I think, are the people that it could be. None of those ideas really excite me all that much. Frankly, I think they're all like, they're all out of Madison's league. I enjoy Madison in the Divas division or Knockouts division, and I don't really need to see her wasting time in some wacky story, but maybe we'll find out there's some reason to it. They've been good about things lately. Brooke Hogan told Ms. Tessmacher that she hooked her up with a direct auto insurance campaign. Somewhere Matt Morgan must be seething, knowing that should have been, that was mine. You're taking away my direct auto insurance ad. What the hell? And that'll fuel more rumors that he is leaving TNA. See? We'll see. Gail Kim showed up and asked her for a rematch. Ms. Tessmacher said that she'd love a rematch with Gail Kim, but Brooke, well, she finally spoke up then. Because remember, Brooke was like acting like she wasn't going to give Kim a rematch for a long time because she's such a bitch. Well, that long time turned out to be, she made her wait a week to announce that she'll get a rematch next week. So, yeah, Brooke Tessmacher, or I'm sorry, Miss Tessmacher, because she's just Miss now that Brooke Hogan's around. I know that, yes, I do believe Tessmacher was, you know, named after Brooke Hogan because they spelled their name the same way and all that. And TNA likes to do goofy things like that. And so Hulk got to go home and, Brooke, we named a girl after you, dude. And, yay. So it'll be Tessmacher defending against Gail Kim next week. I don't know how that leads into the pay-per-view, but maybe it will. Fourth match was Rashad Cameron defeating Mason Andrews in 3:41 in another X Division qualifying match. Rashad is G's. Mason Andrews is Scorpio Sky. For those of you who maybe didn't see the show, but are indie fans. This was fun. The crowd was into it. I actually thought that Mason Andrews looked better than Rashad Cameron did in the ring with some of the things he was doing. But Rashad cut a promo afterward that won a lot of people over. He's a Philly guy, so he was talking about the area code. That's one thing I won't do. I like Minnesota, and I think most people in Minnesota are like this. I could be wrong. But, I'm proud of where I'm from and all that, but you won't hear me running around talking about the 651 or the 612 or even the 763. We've got a few area codes here and just the Twin Cities area. No, I'm not doing it. So, some people are really into that. See, Rey Mysterio and the 619. I'm not doing it. No matter what happens, if the Vikings win the Super Bowl, then I will start boasting about one of the area codes. How's that? So I will never, ever end up doing that. This was a decent X Division qualifier, qualifying match. And then Rashad, like I say, cut that solid promo afterward and seemed to win the crowd over. They were into him. Rashad, if I'm not mistaken, is the same guy who was just squashed on, was it SmackDown? Raw or SmackDown? By Ryback. He was one of the two guys. It's amazing how different you look when you're put in there with a guy, of a similar size compared to when he was on SmackDown, and he just looked like he could have been a mini. He looked fine on Impact, and I don't think most people made the connection. I don't think there's, like, the casual fan that watches both shows might go, hey, kind of looks like that guy from SmackDown. Maybe, but I wasn't thinking, I wasn't worried about it. So I'm happy TNA didn't get like that, like, oh, he just did a job to Ryback. We can't have him on our show. We've seen stupid shit like that in wrestling, where they overthink those things. And I think, fortunately, we didn't get that here. Then we went, after commercial break, we went backstage where Jeff Hardy and James Storm were already in Hulk Hogan's office. Hogan was on the phone with Sting, getting an update on his health. And they're kind of dragging out this this whole mystery thing. Hogan, at one point, did address it. I can't remember what the hell he said. Maybe it was on Twitter. I can't even keep it straight anymore. But remember those mystery men that attacked Sting? It was kind of hard to care about it that night, and now we've waited 2 weeks, and there's only been like one, maybe two brief mentions of those masked mystery attackers. I've already like stopped caring. They need to do a better job of keeping that alive somehow. And I don't want to see Sting in 3-on-1 handicap matches, so God, I can only hope that's not, I really don't think that's where it's going, but I don't know where it is, and TNA's not doing a good job of inspiring me to care. But Hogan did inform Hardy and Storm that he wanted to have them face off next week to determine who was at the top of the pack, I assume regarding the Bound for Glory series. And Storm was excited about it, and Jeff Hardy was just Jeff Hardy about it. Jeff, he's not, when he gets in the ring, he's doing good work and whatnot. Character-wise, they're not giving him a whole lot to work with there. There's nothing storyline-wise he can sink his teeth into. You know, we'll talk more about Jeff, believe it or not, as we get into the main event stuff. We'll get back to him for sure. But the gut check judging started. Jeremy Borash introduced the judges, of course. Al Snow, Bruce Pritchard, and Taz. Taylor Hendricks came out. And the judges didn't dick around too long this time. Taz gave her a yes vote. Like, okay. Al Snow, who was like the one singing her praises at one point, ended up, well, he was a, I'm sorry, first it was, yeah, it was, I thought Al Snow, Al Snow voted no, but it was after Joey Ryan came out. That's what it was. Yeah, so Al Snow gave her a no vote, but Joey Ryan was at ringside. He had a sign with like 75% can't be wrong or whatever it was, referring to however many people in the TNA poll or whatever it was, gave him the thumbs up. And Taz went out there and jawed with them, and Ryan was escorted away by security. I mean, I've kind of expected this one for, been expecting this one for a while, and sure enough, it happened. You know, the crowd was, I don't know, they seemed kind of into it. It wasn't like, holy crap, it's Joey Ryan. He wasn't getting like this overwhelming, he hasn't been getting like a chance on Impact or anything like that, but talented guy. I'm, you know, like I said, I think of the gut checks thus far, he's the guy that stood out to me the most. Then we had Hendricks, or I'm sorry, then it was time for Hendricks to cut a promo, because apparently you don't get a promo unless there's only one judge that hasn't voted. If it's a split decision, then you get promo time. I don't know. I don't really like that either. Shouldn't you get one promo like before the judges cast their vote? So what if you would? What if your promo would have won over one of those judges? Like, what if Al Snow had go? Had, if Al Snow had been like, man, I would have voted for you, but now I can't. It seems a little ass backwards to me. But Bruce Pritchard talked about how Hendricks is green and inexperienced and questioned whether she's tough enough. He's going to vote no, right? Because all those things are kind of true. But she has heart, desire, and class. So the vote is it's a yes. Nothing against her. Honestly, it's just, I don't like that they're setting this up like it's, hey, if you lose to somebody in a squash and then you have, you know, win over the judges personality-wise, you're in. Yay. Fifth match, we had, it was a tag titles on the line. Daniels and Kazarian defeated the team of AJ Styles and Kurt Angle to win the TNA tag titles. This one, it was not nearly as good as what we saw at Slammiversary, but there's reasons. I mean, you had, you know, there was an angle, obviously, at the end of the thing. You had a commercial break in the middle of it. So if you're going, this is what everybody was buzzing about with Slammiversary? No, it wasn't. I mean, it was fine for a TV match, but I wish that they could just, like, here's what happened at Slammiversary. We're going to show you the whole damn match because that was really good. And, you know, again, this was good, too, just not that good, as good as Slammiversary. But, yeah, so down the stretch, Styles takes out both Kazarian and Daniels. Daniels threw Angle into the referee, and then Daniels grabbed a chair and set up to hit Styles with it. Kazarian takes the chair from Daniels, and Styles then catches Daniels with a Pele kick. Styles went for the Styles Clash, but Kazarian then hit him with the chair. Daniels covered Styles, and then Kazarian got the referee to wake up and count the three. Like, why didn't he just let him hit him with it? What am I missing? It wouldn't have been as suspenseful. It really wasn't. I didn't care. I didn't like the finish to this at all, or the Kazarian tease and all that. It's like I think they're trying to go back and right or wrong, because early on, remember, Kazarian was kind of like, was he being brainwashed? Was he being held against his will, basically, by Daniels? He was holding something over his head. I think they're trying to, like, reestablish now, and it's like, you know, I've kind of moved on from that. I applaud the effort, but now you're going back so far that I think most of us have moved on, and we just kind of accept that Daniels and Kazarian are a unit. So, yeah, I didn't like the tease that he's going to leave Daniels, but he isn't. I don't know what that was. But then afterward, we get Daniels grabbing a mic and pointing out that he announces to the world that Crack Whore Claire is actually pregnant with her little crack baby. And the father is none other than AJ Tiger Woods Styles. And Dixie and Claire were stunned. I mean, Dixie's, what? No. What? No. That kind of crap. And Claire's like sitting there, you know, burying her face. Oh. So, yeah. Maybe it's just best if somebody leaves the crack whore at home. I mean, I know she's in recovery and, you know, you got to keep an eye on her. But isn't there someone a little more qualified than Dixie Carter and AJ Styles? They may be nice people, but I don't recall hearing anything about them like being like certified drug counselors. Is that something you got to get certified for? I don't even know. But, yeah, just stop bringing her to TV then. She did what she needed to last week. Why is she back this week? I guess just to clear things up. But, yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of Claire. And here's the issue I have with this. I don't believe for a second that AJ Styles is going to be cast as this evil Tiger Woods figure who's out cheating on his wife and you know, they're and just having no regard for the family he has at home, you know, the three AJs that he has, the dates tattooed. That's another question I have. Will AJ get another tattoo if it turns out that this crack baby is his? And will he come up with AJ again for the initials for this baby? I don't know. A lot of questions coming out of Impact. But, yeah, I mean, I just, honestly, I don't, even if, like, if you would put, going back to Jeff Hardy, if you'd put him in this, now, granted, he just had a baby, and him and his wife, you know, have a, I think, a newborn, certainly, you know, an infant at home, and, you know, it's kind of common knowledge, but I could have, just because of Hardy's a little bit darker and more mysterious character. I'm not saying you imply that he was in there doing drugs with her, but just because of that part of his life that is hopefully behind him now, you know, it's like, yeah, I can, you know, at least suspend my disbelief a little easier than I can. The guy that TNA sends to Gospel Music Awards and is like, you know, the proud father of three who's, other than the, I guess that time we're supposed to forget when he apparently was cheating on these people on his wife with, Karen Angle, I still don't know why they did that. I don't believe that this creative team is going to have faith in AJ to, like, be this playboy villainous heel who sleeps with drugged out women. And you know, even so, I mean, I would have maybe considered putting Hardy in this spot instead. I don't know. I mean, I think they just kind of, well, we've got this feud with Kazarian and Daniels against AJ, so let's go this way with it. And, you know, Hardy wasn't in there, and I get that. I'm just saying, I think he actually, and others would have worked better than this, than just nice guy, clean cut AJ, who I don't think the fans believe, especially when, why do we believe Daniels now? You know, he was doctoring tapes and doing all this. To me, as a viewer, this would just look like, well, he's trying to, you know, he's reaching now more than ever. He already tried to expose that Claire, or he already doctored tapes to make it seem like AJ and Dixie were having an affair. So, you know, why do we believe him now when he says that the father of Claire's baby is actually AJ? I just, it's like, man, whatever. When he says it, it's like, yeah, this won't be true either. And, you know, I'm sure they'll do their best to convince us. I'm guessing Claire at some point, the crack whore is going to start turning on AJ or something. And, doing things to make us think, oh my God, AJ really is the father, but I'm just not going to buy it. You know, that's kind of the issue I have with this whole storyline is, again, I just don't see choir boy AJ being this, you know, villainous, man whore who's, out getting drugged out tail all the time. Then again, a lot of us didn't think Tiger Woods was up to no good. I'm just saying, and I mean, AJ in this spot doesn't work for me. That said, TNA continue. I'm not, you know, there's obviously listening to this, there's things about it that I'm not crazy about, but by and large, this product is so much better than it was for, well, most of its 10 years in existence. For the most part, I mean, there's, like I say, you know, there's things about this that I'm still baffled by, but there really does seem to be an effort, being made to have things that, have, you know, storylines that have a beginning, middle, and an end, and don't just swerve for the sake of swerving. They're putting better matches on TV. I like that. I mean, this show alone, what, we have two Bound for Glory series matches. We had a gut check segment. We had X Division qualifiers, and we had a tag title match. All those things, you know, had something at stake. The product is just so much better, and it's nice to see. I'm not sitting around Thursday going, oh, God, I got to watch Impact tonight, like I had for a long time during, previous eras. Now it's like, hey, Impact's on tonight. And it's, I just start, I hope other people start to pick up on that. I hope the ratings start to reflect that, hey, people are giving them another chance and they're starting to catch on that, hey, the product is better. And maybe now that the NBA playoffs are over, that will happen. I'm not an NBA guy, so I forgot the draft was on last night. I don't know how much of an effect that's going to have on the Impact rating this week, but, it's Thursday. They're always going to run into something. There was Charlie Sheen's new show that started. Thank you, TNA and Spike TV, for moving it back into an earlier slot so I can watch Louis live. I love Louis C.K. But, there's always going to be tough competition on Thursday. But, it's like you actually hope that, they get some indication that, Dixie Carter and company, the higher-ups start to see that there's a payoff to having better booking. The rating will go up if they stick with this crew and they continue to do things the right way. I want to see this, the improved quality of the show validated in viewership, but it might take time. As I say on a regular basis, I remember watching, the Monday Night Wars, and Raw was significantly better than Nitro for a long time, yet it was still behind Nitro in the ratings. These things can take time. I just hope that, TNA officials, Dixie Carter is patient with this creative team because they are doing good work. And I hope Spike TV realizes that, part of the reason the rating is down is it coincided with the time slot change. I hope they get to do live more often, not just for me as a, I always enjoy live television, but I know the average viewer out there probably doesn't even know what's live and what's not unless they're told. I just think, the energy is better in that building, and I think the wrestlers seem a lot more inspired. It's a much better product when it's live, and I know that's not going to matter to Spike. They just, they're got to look at their bottom line. But, hopefully once the time slot gets established and there's not as much competition, they can start to gain a little momentum here in the ratings. So that's going to do it for me today. Will Pruitt should be back next week with his audio review of Impact Wrestling. No pay-per-views this weekend as far as WWE and TNA are concerned, but Destination X will be back next week, or will take place next week, and also a big UFC show that Ryan Kester is going to be providing live coverage of a week from Saturday with Chael Sonnen challenging Anderson Silva. Tito Ortiz's retirement fight against Forrest Griffin should be a loaded UFC show, especially that main event. The Sonnen and Anderson is Anderson Silva is one that I think everyone needs to go out of their way to see somehow, some way. I know I've got an indie show I'm going to that night, and I'm hoping that I can find a bar right there so I can so I don't miss any of it. I definitely have to see that one. But yeah, again, Ryan will have you covered with that. Thank you, everybody. Check out ProWrestling.net if you're listening on iTunes, and that membership that we told you about, $5.50 a month if you want to take the annual, $7.50 if you just want to try it for a month. All those perks I mentioned earlier, again, it's at ProWrestling.net. Take care and have a great weekend.